roll call, please. And Commissioner O'Grady told me he would not be here tonight. He's out of town.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Doc on that thing.
Present. Commissioner Marks?
Here.
Commissioner Slane?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Here.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
And the record will reflect that Commissioner Jack is absent, along with Commissioner O'Grady.
We do have some rules of decorum. To the speakers, please direct your comments to the entire commission and not to any individual commissioners. Please do not use slanderous, profane, or negative personal remarks concerning individuals absent or present. And to the audience, I ask that you be respectful and courteous to the speakers and refrain from vocal expressions of approval or disapproval, such as clapping or heckling. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Slane?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
5-0. Motion passes.
Disclosure of ex parte communications. Prior to a project hearing, Planning Commission members must disclose any communications they have had on any quasi-judicial agenda items. This includes, but is not limited to, tentative subdivision maps, parcel maps, variances, conditional use permits, and plan development permits. This does not disqualify the Planning Commission members from participating and voting on the matter, but it gives the public and applicant an opportunity to comment on the ex parte communication. And starting with Commissioner Fonzie, we'll...
No ex parte to disclose.
No ex parte for me.
None for me either.
I visited both of the sites on tonight's agenda.
No ex parte from me.
This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wishing to address the commission on any matter not on the agenda and over which the commission has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 5 minutes. Please state your name for the record before making your presentation. The commission may take action to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Is there anybody here who would like to speak? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and move on to the consent calendar. I would like to pull item number 2 so that everybody has an opportunity to read the additional information we had. Is there a motion to accept item number 1, approval of the minutes?
So moved.
It's been moved. Second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. May we have roll call?
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Slane?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
I will abstain. I was absent from the last meeting.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
4-0. Motion passes.
And for the record, Commissioner Jack is now in attendance. And with regard to number 2, approval of the time extension tentative track map, just go ahead and take a few minutes to read this. And if you have any questions of staff, the second page shows the corrections that they needed to make. Date was wrong and they omitted CUP. Does anybody have any questions of staff? Okay, seeing none, is there a motion to approve item number 2 on the consent
so
calendar?
Moved.
Okay, it's been moved and
seconded.
Roll call.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Slane?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
6-0. Motion passes.
And the only item on our agenda tonight is a tree removal permit for 1320 El Camino Real.
Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the Commission.
Hope everyone's having a good evening. We do have an application for a tree removal permit located at 1320 El Camino Real. It's located between El Camino and Highway 101 and is zoned commercial park. As shown and read in the staff report, there's a few typos in the language of the arborist report. However, the chart in the back of the spreadsheet was correct. This is a site plan just showing real quick the location of all the trees, and they're to be removed. And the 48-inch oak to remain. This is a map showing the tree protection outlined in red on this plan for the 48-inch live oak to remain. All the X's indicate removals or proposed removals due to impacts or public improvements. This map it's just the tree protection plan enlarged a little bit more so I can give you a little bit better of why the site was laid out the way it was. Access is taken here on the southeast portion of the lot. It was not taken up here on the northeasterly part due to the fact of a 14-inch live oak shown here as a removal. It's a removal due to the fact that it might not survive. So we take the mitigation fees as an insurance policy. The applicant would like to have the 48-inch live oak shown here and this tree to survive on the property. He thought it might be a good way to frame the building as you're driving along El Camino. Pervious surface was and is proposed around the large 48-inch live oak tree. There is minor excavating going along due to the fact that there's not deep trenching. The arborist is expecting the tree to survive. Again, though, we do take mitigation fees in just in case the tree does not survive. However, after a year that it's been finaled, the applicant can be reimbursed with these mitigation fees. These are some quick pictures that were taken that show the trees. 24-inch black walnut shown here proposed for removal. This is the 14-inch live oak that the applicant would like to see saved, but however, due to excavation and compaction of the soils, might not have a chance to survive. Here's a picture of the 5-inch live oak, the 6-inch live oak, the dead black walnut, and the 48-inch live oak to remain. Staff wanted to note that the applicant was in three meetings previous to submitting for building permits just about the architecture and the features and facades of the project. Mitigation fees due are going to total around $2,400 that go to the tree fund. Findings, staff has highlighted finding number 5 as detailed in the staff report as the appropriate finding to be made to approve the tree removal permit. Therefore, staff is recommending approval of the tree removal application and recommends that Planning Commission adopt PC Resolution 2007-0076. Are there any questions?
Are there any questions?
No.
Go ahead.
Matt, the property to the north, immediately to the north, there have been two black walnuts removed in the same line as the other walnuts, as the ones we're talking about this evening. The stumps are still there, and they're sprouting. What is the disposition of the stumps so the trees are going to be removed on this property?
For this project, if it sounds like it's something that the commission would want to condition on the tree removal application.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
I know we're not looking at any building plans this evening, but there was a picture of a building up there, Matt. Is that a commercial or a residential?
It's a commercial in a light industrial zone.
Okay. And there's no mitigation that says they're going to plant trees?
They have the option to plant trees in their landscape plan. They do have one that's with the normal building permit for a commercial application. They have the option of planting a native, and we give that to them. That reduces their mitigation fees.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fonsi.
Could you put up the sketch that shows the parking and where the tree would be again? Right. Yeah, we didn't get anything that was a larger plan, and I'm wondering, are they proposing a curb around the larger tree that will be proposed to remain on site?
Yes. As shown here with the cursor, this is the curb. I'm sorry, I don't have the detail of how tall that curb is, but within the curb, it's just going to be planted in dirt and landscaped.
So will there be a change in grade for the tree at all, or will this basically stay the same? And is it essential that they have a curb? We've seen several that had curbs that seems to hold the water in, and it's too much water for the tree. Is what we've seen, a few trees have become diseased from this.
For drainage purposes, there are no curbs along the sidewalk. The sidewalk will be installed here, and there is no curb along here.
So will the, I know there won't be any grading, but will the water flow towards the sidewalk, or do you know?
Yes, and that's something our Public Works and Drainage can look at, too.
Thank you.
I have a number of questions. With regard to tree number two, that was, had the red mylar on it, but is not on the tree protection report. What was the decision regarding that? Because you said that's where the sidewalk would go.
All trees that weren't on the application or in the staff report are not for removal. That labeling just threw me off a little bit when I was out there doing the lot posting.
So that one, that number, tree number two, is not on the property and will not be in the improvement sites in the area?
There is a tree number two labeled as proposed for removal, but that was not the one we discussed earlier on the map. I'm referencing tree number two as in the one in the chart from the arborist report.
There's no tree number two on this spreadsheet. I cannot read the tree numbers on that little map. That's
you,
up there.
You are correct. Then that tree is not proposed for removal.
Okay, and then you said that the applicant wants to save tree number eight, which is 14 inches. That has 45% impact.
Correct.
But tree number five, which is going to be impacted 55%, is not going to be removed. That does not compute for me.
If I can take a moment to explain that. And the arborist did not have the time to make the meeting, so I apologize for that. But there's two different kinds of impacts. Here, for tree number eight, there will be over-excavating below 12 inches down into the ground and recompaction of that dirt. That will affect that tree. It is a younger tree with not as an established root system. Tree number five, the one proposed to remain, the 48-inch live oak, installing the curb and this pervious surface shown in gray in the hatched marks, they're not going to dig deeper than 12 inches. Therefore, with that size of tree and complexity of that root system and how deep it goes, that tree has a much more likelihood of surviving than a tree that is younger and they're actually digging down deeper, and that affects its more stable roots.
Okay, how did they determine the age? My understanding is you can only determine an age of a tree by doing a boring. So you can't do it based on size.
Not age, then size of the tree. I take age off that. Then size and healthiness of the trees.
But tree number, okay. So you're saying the health of the tree. And yet the ratings on those trees were both number four. So they were given the same rating by the arborist.
I just want to emphasize that he's going off the size and the complexity of the root systems and the digging that's going to take place.
How does he know if he hasn't excavated how deep the roots go?
This would probably be best left to the arborist who happened not to be here. So, for this is the conversation I've had with him this morning over the phone. You can refer this back. We can get a letter from him later as a condition, and if it says otherwise, continue the project, and if not,
okay, continue. And then I had asked you if they had flipped the building, because you said the only reason you gave for not considering flipping the building is because of the 14-inch oak tree that they want to try and
correct.
Save. That will have less impact, but there's going to be more excavation. If they flipped the building, they would not have impacted the larger tree as much.
I'd also like to leave that to the client to explain in a little bit more detail. But if they put the drive up there in the northern easterly end, that tree would have to be removed.
Okay, so yes, but we don't know if it's going to be saved anyway.
No, but there's a chance it will survive.
But the large tree will be impacted, the root zone.
Correct.
The drip line will be impacted more than the other tree. Okay, then another issue that came up was with regard to the stumps. From what I can tell, because it looks like the sidewalk is going to be where the walnut trees are, they're going to have to remove the stumps. So there's not an issue with regard to stump removal because of what they're doing on this site. And what about the back half of the lot? The issue was brought up about doing some planting, but I'm sure at some point that back will be developed.
No development is proposed currently.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the future if we're talking about replanting. If you don't know what's going to go in there.
There is a required 15 Calstrand strip in the very furthest back along Highway 101. That will be required with the building permit, and I believe Steve has something to add.
Sure. We're having a difficult time with the Caltrans landscaping, so I'll pass that because I don't think we're going to apply that to this project. What we are looking at, though, is that storage area in the back. If it changes in the future, then there would be an amendment to the plan, and we'd be looking at landscaping that. For now, it's storage fenced, and it's acceptable as it's proposed, and that's all you're approving tonight. The landscape buffer on site, if that's the part that Matt was referring to, it looks like we could do tree mitigation back there if we wanted to do replanting back in that area. They're showing that. I don't have the landscape plans before us because it's just the tree removal permit, but the building permit would have the landscape plan with it. In terms of the trees in the front and those impacts, I wanted to touch on that because you did have some good questions about what's going on with that 14-inch tree. Will it survive? The applicant would like it to survive. It looks like from the site plan and the storage area that the simple solution would be to potentially, if the Planning Commission would like, in terms of this application, request that building be pushed back to the extent that tree would be a survivor at 25% or less impact than the 45%.
Which tree are you
14-inch.
The 14
by pulling the building back so many feet, and the arborist would determine how many feet back, that would put that tree into a survival position and would probably answer all your questions about what's going on in the front with reducing impacts to that tree. I'm not sure, maybe others as well, but that one in particular. So if it is the true intent of the applicant to save that tree, then it may be everybody's best interest to position that building back so many feet. The only thing that would happen is it looks like the storage area, gravel area in the back would be reduced by that many feet.
Okay, and then what other question? Is this a metal building?
Yes.
I thought there was some, the metal buildings were being discouraged.
The applicant had pushed for a metal building. He had been in a few times with staff pre-planning. And the first building that came in was a standard basic building, so staff looked for more design placed onto the building. That's what you're seeing in this elevation, although the elevation isn't what's before you tonight. There is not a restriction in the zoning ordinance for appearance review for metal buildings, so we're looking at higher design when metal buildings do come in.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions of staff before I open it to the applicant? Seeing none, does the applicant want to speak on this?
My name is Glenn Ross, and I'm the applicant. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the commission has or enlighten anything that I can for you.
I do have a question. It seems nobody else does. I still feel that if you had flipped the building and had it on the other side, that there would be less impacts to all the trees and have the setback for the 14-inch tree just set back a little bit more.
I can tell you that when we initially looked at the site with our architect and engineer and spent a great deal of time looking at where we could place the building on that, that we considered that large oak tree as the focal point of the whole property. It's a beautiful tree. We want it to remain. We want it to remain healthy. The driveway entrance for the pre-existing building that was a residence that burned there in the fire last September used that area to the left of the tree as a driveway entrance. It was already there. And the placement of the building was considered in that way to put it as far away from the tree as we could. The tree is not in the center. It's the left. We needed to have as much usable space on the property as possible. So we moved the building to the right-hand side and to the front to specifically to stay away from that tree as much as we could. It was a lot of consideration that went into it.
Was that driveway, though, just a dirt driveway for the house when the house was there?
That I don't know.
Because it doesn't look like there was pavement there.
It's hard to say that the building was demolished so badly in the fire, and then the whole lot was raised.
I see.
There was a lot of demolition that was done there. I'm not certain. The fire burned up both property lines and quite a distance over. There were several structures lost.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
And I would like to point out, too, that the elm trees we're talking, or I'm sorry, the black walnuts that we're talking about removing, one of them is dead now, I believe, from that fire, and the other one is pretty close to there. They are jeopardized as they are.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any questions?
Hi, Mr. Ross. Is the sidewalk going to remove the stumps? And when you installed sidewalk, you're going to be removing those stumps?
It was my assumption that we would have to remove the trees, stumps, and all in order to make access for the public improvements the city is requiring.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
We're happy to do that.
Thanks.
If I might address one more thing.
Sure.
Commissioner O'Keefe brought up issues about the curbing around the tree and the walkway.
No, that was Commissioner Fonzie.
I'm sorry. Pardon me. Those are handicap access requirements, as I believe, in order to provide that type of access to the building. And the curbing we're talking about would be poured on the surface of the ground, not excavated down like a footing. There are no footings very close to that tree at all. And we designed the building that way on that slab type of foundation just to be able to mitigate that.
Thank you. No, my concern was not the height or the although the digging down for the curb would be important. My concern was that the water would pool in there, and apparently there is drainage, so that satisfies my concern.
I believe there is drainage plan for that area to make sure that doesn't happen, and it's all pervious pavers too. So yeah, we're sensitive to that.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Is the building going to be gutted?
I believe yes. Yes, it is. It is gutted.
That was another consideration for that tree and water is just the runoff.
Yeah, there is a full drainage plan in place for that property that was engineered, and that was all been taken into consideration.
If there are no other questions, then thank you.
Thank you.
And is there anybody else from the public who would like to speak on this? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission for discussion and a vote.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
That the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2007-0076 to approve the request to remove two California black walnuts and three coast live oaks subject to findings and conditions of approval.
Second.
Staff was talking about setting the building back a little bit further. Is that included in your motion, or are you going to leave it the way it is?
I think I'd like to leave it the way it is.
Okay. All right. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Slain?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
No, and for the record, I'm voting no because I don't think that I've been given sufficient proof that the building couldn't have been designed to have fewer impacts to the two oak trees that are there.
5-1, motion passes.
Okay, that concludes our one staff report, and moving on to commissioner comments and reports. Do any of the commissioners have anything?
Yes.
Okay.
I received a memorandum on ex parte communications, and I'm wondering if the rest of the commission received this as well. Okay. I have a question of staff. Do you know if the city council received the same memo?
Who'd you receive that from?
From, Chronic, Moskowitz.
It looked like the same stuff we'd had before.
Yeah, I would assume that the commission and council received the same information.
Okay, I asked that question because it says two planning commissioners. Any idea of, I have an idea why, but is there an official reason why?
Not that I know of. And just a little bit of update, the city is in the process of switching city attorneys, so I believe Chronic Moskowitz is no longer representing the city. We do have an interim city attorney that will be attending the next city council meeting. We are going to be looking at council and commission training issues related to some of these things. So I expect in the next month or so we'll probably be announcing some new training sessions for the commission and the council. So just know that the city attorney issue is changing, and you'll start to hear from a new city attorney fairly soon.
Thank you. If I may, I think
sure.
I think this memo kind of opens a door to an issue that has arisen in the last couple of last council meeting. It was quite a vocal issue, and that is ex parte communications. My name was mentioned, and I want to make public that I have 30 years of experience, professional experience, in the wastewater industry. My responsibilities included protecting public health and environmental quality through application of basin plan requirements. And the basin plan is what's key here. These 30 years of work with the basin plan has given me the opportunity to become quite familiar with it. Part of the basin plan is the issue that we discussed a couple of meetings ago, and that was a septic system. I am well familiar with the laws and prohibitions with septic systems. In fact, those laws have been in effect, been on the books for almost a quarter of a century now. If during my deliberations on that project, if I felt I had to contact water quality, I would have done so. However, I didn't feel I need to. If I had contacted water quality, I would have so stated in ex parte communications disclosure. I take my responsibility as a planning commissioner and my duties as a planning commissioner quite seriously. I don't consider it a secret. I don't have secrets and don't have a secret spy game. Mayor Pro Tem Brendler selected me as a planning commissioner. Both he and I agree that open and honest government is something we are committed to, and I emphasize that. It's open and honest government. The public looks to the elected officials for leadership. If elected officials make public veiled accusations without facts, that does a great disservice to this community, not only from within the community, but from outside the community as well. And I urge elected officials, when they make those sorts of decisions, or they're going to accuse someone of anything, they be certain that they have the facts. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Marks. I think one of the problems that came up there is that some of the people thought that Basin Plan was something new, and unfortunately, we just hadn't heard the term before. I believe our city engineer is well acquainted with it, and it's been around for a very long time, but because of the paranoia that's rampant right now, anything new that comes up immediately becomes distrusted. And unfortunately, without getting all the facts, that's my own personal opinion on that. Are there any other commissioner? Go ahead, Commissioner Jack.
Just a point of information. Commissioner Marks and myself attended the energy conference at Cal Poly, and I found it to be quite instructive, having never really attended one of those before. And there were a lot of good ideas, a lot of conversation about the need to become at least sensitive to trying to find some alternative uses. And I found that provided me with a lot of information. Marin County, for example, had gone so far as to do a satellite survey of the entire county. I happen to be familiar with that area. And they had already pre-selected areas where solar panels would make sense in terms of building, and those other areas that did not make sense. So the implication there was that they were using this, and as they go forward with building the net, when they come to these areas, they would encourage the utilization of solar panel type or some sort of a solar energy project. So I found it quite instructive and beneficial.
I agree. Also, we should mention that a couple elected officials, policymakers, and we got a great feel for what all of the communities in this county, all of the incorporated communities and the county, are doing, what they're thinking, and even some of what they're proposing to address greenhouse gas issues and energy conservation. It was very enlightening. It's very interesting.
Commissioner Jack.
One last comment as a follow-up to Commissioner Marks there. I was a little disappointed. I don't know what transpired, why there was no one from our city council in attendance. It would have been nice. I know that there were some illness or some other things that may have kept that from taking place, but I think the one message that I got out of the whole thing was the need for regional cooperation if we're going to have any opportunity to have a significant impact on the area. So,
thank you, Commissioner Fonzie.
I don't know whether staff has any notes or anything they could pass on to us or materials that they received at the conference that might be helpful, but I think there are those among us that would like to see that.
Yeah, I think there was a number of information packets that we picked up. I think a number of the PowerPoints that were presented are also available, so we could get some of that pulled together for you.
I think the conference itself is available online now.
I have a question on a different issue, and that's that project that Kelly Gerhart developed and then I believe sold to Fedco, where the that's on El Camino Real, and I happened to, I made a point of driving in there because I was up there checking on the tree removal. But there's two things that concern me there. One is that the Colony House was moved up to the front, and you know, we're going to be getting the rains. There's birds going through there right now. It's so, the house was in bad shape, but it's going to be in a lot worse shape if something isn't done. And then also, there was a problem with grading and on this, the next phase of that project, and you were going to get an arborist out there to look at that. I never did get a report back on that.
All the tree protection and restoration of the Colony House are on the plans and the requirements of the project. The developer has been very unresponsive for at least the last 9 months. Staff has sent him a number of letters. We've met with him a couple times, both about the trees and the Colony House. But we haven't gotten much action in response to our inquiries. I do believe we just sent out another letter based on the health of the trees, because we've been equally concerned about the health of the trees. I'll follow up, see exactly where we're at with it. I think we're, you know, getting pretty close to having to turn this into possibly a code enforcement action. We prefer not to do that, but for whatever reason, I think a lot of it has to do with the economics right now. This developer is just doesn't seem to be very responsive.
Well, I think there are definitely some economics there, because there's a number of houses that have sold sign on them and had them on there for 6-7 months already. There's a number of houses that are in different stages of being developed, so it doesn't look very good from the economics on that. And also, did you ever get a, did an arborist ever go out there and do a tree evaluation on that? You were going to get back to me.
The arborist did go out there with staff. They never submitted the report. We've asked for the report a number of times.
Is that because he's not being paid?
Yes.
Joan, could you tell us where that project is? You said Fedco, and it doesn't ring a bell for me.
Okay. When you go north on El Camino Real before you get to the Del Rio, it's a little bit south of where the tree removal was, and it's on the east side, and you will see that Colony House sitting up there on the corner. You don't have the address offhand, do you? You can't miss it.
I think it's almost directly across the street from the tree removals.
Okay.
I saw it today. I have a question of staff. City Council last Tuesday voted to get an economic consultant for economic visioning. Is the RFQ available yet?
No, the RFQ has not been issued yet. Staff's working on it right now. I expect negotiating. We've been told that they're very interested in the site, but they still have not signed the deal yet. Big Five and Office Depot obviously are both under construction. Those will be opening fairly soon. And the city's been, you know, doing what we can to try to encourage marshals about coming to the city, but they just haven't signed the agreement yet.
Any other questions? If not, the director's report.
Yes, thank you. Just a quick update. Your next Planning Commission meeting will be September 18th. We've got a couple things on the agenda. Ridgeway Court, which was that historic plan development up above the police station. The commission referred that back for some additional historic analysis. That's been completed, so that'll be on your next agenda. There's a code text amendment to the zoning ordinance that needs to be processed, so that'll be coming through. You'll be recommending on that to the City Council. And there's a road abandonment next to the Tesoro Station on Morrow Road. It's kind of in conjunction with the 101 interchange project, so that'll be on your agenda. You'll be making a recommendation to the City Council on that. And then the Planning Commission norms that you made comments to the City Council on a couple months ago, those have been revised, so those will be coming back to the Commission for you to review again and make further recommendations, or hopefully you'll just accept them. So that is...
So you're saying the Council revised our suggestions?
They are slightly different than the last time you saw them.
Okay. And what's the code text? Is that, what does that have to do with?
It's some pretty minor clarifications. There's some sections in our zoning ordinance that are just out of date in terms of processing times. So we're trying to get that clarified and consistent with state law. So it's a couple minor things.
And then is that Marchant that's being going to be closed?
Yes, Marchant.
All right.
I have a couple additional comments. Warren, isn't the Finance Department going to give a budget update at the next meeting?
I believe so, too.
Yeah, so the Finance Director will be giving you just an update on the approved budget, what's up there, what's it all about, just to give you some information. And also, we had our first meeting on the Transit Center site selection. It was a very good meeting, fairly well attended, about 10 people attended. We're going to be having our second meeting in conference room number 4 on bicycle access, pedestrian access, access to activities downtown, what needs to be on the site. So basically just selection criteria. We left a good set of criteria. Now the applicant and the city are, or excuse me, the consultant and the city are working together to select sites throughout the city that fit that criteria. At the next meeting, we'll be discussing that ranking criteria and looking at potential sites.
Okay, and what room did you say you'd be meeting?
Conference room number 4, right across the hall.
Okay. If you show up, you get input. That's the good part, everybody. Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Just one other thing. I don't know if I told the Planning Commission, but the Santa Ana map that the Commission denied, we have received an appeal on that one. The applicant is doing some additional work. There's some additional survey work that we need to do on it. So I'm not exactly sure when it's going to go to City Council, just because the applicant has asked for some additional time to prepare more information on their project application before they actually have the appeal heard. But there will be an appeal heard on that item.
There was another question I was going to ask you. I can't think of it right now. Oh, I know what it is. Have the minutes been completed for that Joint Planning Commission Parks and Rec meeting?
I just received a draft of them today, so Brady and I need to review those, so I expect next week those will be in final form.
Okay, they're not, in the past they sent it to everybody that was there to review them. She's not going to do that this time?
I don't know exactly what their process is. All I know is I have a draft to review.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you. Okay, meeting is adjourned.